Welcome to the Rearview Mirror Podcast, looking back on all that we don't know and a few things that we do.
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
Are we on?
We are about on. I mean, yes, we're technically on, but I'll cut this part out, as I always say. All right. Got my computer, only because I got my podcast thoughts from listeners, if we want to. If we need that, or if we're ready to roll, we'll roll.
I felt like we went through a lot of questions last time.
And that was all on one topic.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So episode two, season two.
Yeah, welcome back to season two.
Technically, I'm still calling it season one because I couldn't figure out how to call it season two, so we're still good.
What do you mean you couldn't figure out how to call it season
two? I don't know. I was lazy, probably. Do we need a season two?
I'm not following you.
Oh, no. We won't care. We won't use this. No, I'm just letting them roll. I'm not worried about numbering them or anything on our podcast.
Okay.
But I think for us to call it season two live is really important. Okay, count us in. Mic check.
No, I'm not going to do that in season two. We're going to do something else.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what yet.
Right.
I feel like season two's got a whole new vibe, though. feels like a whole new season. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm glad it does for you.
Yeah, I think it's good. A little less weighty, you know?
A little more freedom.
I think so.
A little loose.
I think we're all a little looser this week and feel a little better.
Yeah.
You've been following the news.
Uh-huh. Wow, what's
big
going
news?
On?
Big news. Todd and Julie Chrisley were released from prison. President Trump pardoned them, and I think we all feel a little, like a weightlifting.
Do you feel safer, or what do we feel?
I feel lighter.
Yeah,
know, I feel like that was weighing on everybody.
Well, they're Arkansas people, right?
I don't think so.
Oh, I had them in Arkansas for some reason.
Why?
Okay, I don't know.
I had them in East Tennessee.
Really, they could fit either place. Pretty well.
Yeah, I think we all feel a little lighter now that that's behind us. Okay. You know, we can move on.
Yeah. People like that get pardons. I'll never understand the world.
People like that?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Well, I don't know anything about them, but why do they get a pardon? Why does anybody get a pardon?
Why wouldn't you get a pardon?
What are you, Mr. Grace this morning?
You were pardoned.
Theologically,
what are you, the older brother? You don't want anybody else to get a pardon after you got one?
Probably.
I've been doing this right the whole time, and he just comes up.
He won't throw a party for me.
You don't love the thief on the cross story either, do you?
In the what story?
The thief on the cross.
Oh, no, I love that story. Actually.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah. I identify with that one for some reason. I don't know. I don't remember Todd and Chrisley other than their names. I just felt like they were, I don't know. The presidential pardon thing is what cracks me up. I don't know. I don't get how it works, but. I haven't needed it. I guess if I
think
I needed
it's pretty
it,
simple.
I'd yeah.
I think if you have a dirt on the president or there's a compelling reason, I think you get a pardon no matter who the president is.
That's yes. true. That's not political. That's either side of the aisle. I know that for sure. But
not for sure. Much to know.
Anyway.
Part of our history.
How's your week been? It's Friday morning, so we're sitting here together.
Nah, it's fine.
Yeah.
It'd be too much thinking to go back. I don't know.
Don't want to remember it.
Well, I don't. I mean, it'd be, that's a, there's a lot that's happened this week, I'm sure. So.
Did y'all travel over Memorial Day? Were y'all here?
It was Memorial Day last weekend?
That was just this past Monday, sorry to tell you that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think we traveled.
Okay.
I think we were here, but honestly, I don't remember what we did.
Okay.
I would have to think about it.
Okay.
Must not have been that memorable.
Yeah. I'm just going to sniff this coffee cup, smell what's in here. It's okay. Okay, it's coffee. I'm just making sure.
Yeah, lots happened in the week, so it's fine.
Good.
So,
good. Yeah. I had a thought this morning, and I don't know if this is worth us talking about or not, but I kick it around with you for a minute. I had breakfast this morning with Joe, one of our buddies from our group, you know, and we got talking about this concept of the difference between complacency and contentment in life. And it came out of it's funny for both of us. We've had conversations with our sons recently, and his son just turned 26, and the son I had a conversation with is about to turn 30, and they both have kind of talked to us just in different conversations separately about, hey, Dad, you know, is there more you should be doing? Hey, Dad, why don't you build this thing? Dad, why don't you do this thing? Kind of, you know.
That you should be doing or they should be doing?
No, that we should.
Oh, okay.
You know, just, I think, I feel like for both those boys, I know my son well, know his son pretty well, you know, love their dad and look saying, hey, man, you could be doing this and this would be better for you. You could make more money. You could have another opportunity. And Joe and I both were talking this morning about, like, we value so much what's going on in our boys. Like, they're just like, man, let's grind. Let's get stuff done. Let's accomplish more. It's pretty cool, you know, that season of life. And I told Joe, I said, I don't know if I am complacent in some of these areas or if I'm just really content in this season of my life, kind of where I am right now, of going, nah, I don't feel like I need to be doing more. I like where I am. It just led to interesting thoughts this morning about the difference between how do you know if you're being complacent and how do you know if you're just like, I'm content with where I am right now. I don't need to do anything else. You know, I feel like in my 30s, I had so much to prove. I had so much I wanted to accomplish. You know, for a lot of guys in their 30s, they're wanting to build wealth, build money. Great. Nothing wrong with that, you know. For me, I don't think it's about money. I think it's more about influence, perceived value. I needed to build that. As I get older, I don't feel that burning in me by any stretch that I need to do that. So it was interesting. Am I content in this season or am I complacent?
What did he say?
About himself?
Mm-hmm.
I think he's doing the same thing. He's wrestling with it, going, man, on the one hand, I feel like I live my life well. I feel like my wife and I were in a place where we like what we have. And yet, you know, I think we both are going, but I don't want to become that old guy that just kind of, you know, goes along twiddling my thumbs. I don't need to do anything else. Everything's fine. I think there's always something valuable, purposeful for us to do, but it just feels so different than what that felt like at 30 or 40 for me. It just, I don't know. And I think Joe was saying the same thing, just like, I don't know. We both kind of left this morning going, we just need to be reflective on that, you know, the difference between complacency and contentment. What are those words doing to you when you hear them?
Well, let me ask you something else. So were you thinking about that before they brought it up?
Well, you know, I think what I was thinking about, for I don't know about Joe, I can't speak for him, but for me, I feel like for the last 6 months or so, even as we started this podcast, I thought, why are we doing this? Why am I doing this? You know, am I trying to build something? There's something else I need to do in this my season of my life? And I thought, no, I'm really content. But it came out of, well, you know, as we shared in the very first episode, it came out of, I think, both of us going, but man, how cool would it be to see if what we talk about is transferable? Could it be valuable for anybody else? But I feel really content in how we're doing it. You know, we're not marketing it. We're not trying to figure out who's the most famous guest we can get on here to get a bigger following. You know, I'm content in how we're doing it. And so I think what I had been thinking about is I like how my life is flowing right now. I think I'm pretty content with what I'm doing. And every now and again, there'll be something that bubbles up in me going, man, you know, that could be really a valuable thing to do. I have gifts around that. I think it could help some people. So something's stirring, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm thinking, man, is there something I need to do with that? But then I often just go, I don't think I'm going to do that now. Well, is that me being complacent? Or I'm like, oh, that's a great idea, but it's a great idea for somebody else.
Yeah.
So it's just, I'm just thinking on it. The last couple weeks since Jake talked with me about it, and then even this morning after talking with Joe about it.
Wonder why your boys brought that up.
Yeah. Good question. Next week on the podcast, we will have Jake and Eli. I don't know what was stirring in them.
I'd be interested to know what they're seeing while they ask it.
Yeah. Yeah. I did ask Jake, I said, do you see me as being complacent? Do you feel like I'm just dialing it in? And, you know, he's responding, I don't think so, Dad. He goes, I think Jacob would say to me, he'd say, well, he did say to me, I just think there's more you can be doing. I think you can have bigger influence. I think there's other people you could really help. And why aren't you doing this kind of event and selling it out? And for him, it is also make more money. And again, that one never has stirred me deeply, you know. But I don't know, it's just got me thinking the difference in contentment and complacency.
Yeah, I don't know what the difference is. And maybe they... Maybe there's not a hard and fast line between the two.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's some
moving in and out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I can have. I think in my day to day world, I can have a tendency toward complacency on what I would consider smaller detail items.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Because I'm not worried about the outcome one way or the other.
Right.
Doesn't move the needle.
Yeah.
Contentment, as I mentioned last time, is elusive for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I am in that probably Richard Rohr second half of life mentality, but I do have a little bit of a renewed energy for my work world.
Mm.
And so, mm-hmm. you know, I'm trying to, I like trying to make money.
Yeah.
And I'm trying.
Yep. Yeah, that's great.
And so I'm not, I'm as discontented as I've ever been.
Mm-hmm.
Probably.
Mm-hmm. Which leads to motivation? Is that what you're saying? Yeah.
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 Yeah. I'm taking on more than I've probably ever taken on
mm-hmm.
when I was 30.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
I don't know if it is or not.
Why would it not be, though? I mean, I like, You're here's what I heard. You're motivated. You like it. There's a goal you have. I want to make more. I want to do more. Is it compulsive for you? Does it feel like it's coming out of a dark place? Or
I don't think so.
Yeah,
that's what it could be. Like, I mean, it's probably worth examining. It could be, but I don't think. I think it's just like I've always enjoyed my work world the best when mm-hmm. I have multiple things going on.
You love plates to spin,
man.
Balls to juggle, whatever you want to call it. Yeah,
I love the chaos of it.
Yeah.
I thrive in that.
So that's
I think
that's more. It works more like that for you right now.
It's getting there.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. So slowly coming around. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I don't. Yeah, complacency as an overall concept, I don't know that I, again, it's more with the detail things that I don't want to attend to, but the, contentment's, it's always elusive. It always has.
Yeah.
It was elusive for me when I was 10,
mm-hmm.
20. It's just mm-hmm. always, it's, mm-hmm. I don't know that I've ever really felt content.
It's probably such a big word, isn't it? I mean, even as you're sitting here talking about it, I think on the one hand, when you said, you know, I haven't been content since I was 10 years, they immediately go, oh gosh, I know that feeling. Like,
yeah.
I know that, you know, always what's next, what I need to battle. Some of that's even my wiring, you know, just, there's more to go do. There's more fun to go have, or there's more tasks to accomplish. Both of those things I can bounce in and out of. But it feels like, I think I'm almost thinking about this almost in a different level for me. Like when I think about complacency, that word, I think, always feels bad to me. It feels like stagnation. It feels like I'm not doing something. You know?
Lazy.
Yeah. Complacency does. It feels mm-hmm. gross. I think contentment generally feels good to me. It feels like, man, I'm satisfied. I don't know if I have enough or not, but it's just like, this is good. I'm at peace, you know? And yet, you're right. There's a part of discontentment that's what drives us to accomplish great things. So it's both and, I guess.
I think
I'm not sure where I'm going with this, other than it's stirring something deep in me that I thought it'd be fun to process with you. Keep going.
Sorry. I don't think contentedness comes naturally.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, Paul wouldn't have said, "I've learned to be content."
Yeah, makes sense.
So I don't think that's natural. And I think, you know, some of it depends on your wiring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, you use words like, should I do more? Should I help people more?
Mm-hmm.
Should I be doing something?
Yep.
I don't know what I'd use. I'd probably use different words.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my discontentedness looks different probably.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think there is something when you said, you know, contentment's something we learn. You know, I one of the things Joe and I are talking about this morning is I think often contentment becomes, for me, has contentment has come after surrendering to just kind of the reality of where something is, and then accepting that this is where it is. You know, like I think that word acceptance and contentment feel like they work in tandem really well. You know. Like I think it's great that, you know, you're in a season where you go, man, I like to make money. I want to make more money. Fantastic. And then there comes some point when you realize, well, I have to accept that on this deal, you know, I don't know, it's fallen through, or man, I'm not going to get the margin I thought I was, or what. And correct. At some point, I think there has to be a sense of acceptance and then be able to go, all right, man, I had hoped it was going to be up here. It's only going to be here, but you know, I can be, you know, I've accepted that. And sometimes I think there can be some contentment that follows that. But I think without acceptance, it's probably hard to get to contentment. I feel so philosophical when I say it, but I'm just trying to understand. I don't know what I'm trying to understand, Dave. It's just those two those two words. I came in the door, thought I'd love to kick this around with you for a little bit and see if it takes us anywhere. And it may not.
We're kicking it.
Yeah, that's we'll for sure. Back and forth.
You got something? What are you looking at?
No, I'm just.
You like?
I was looking back at the other questions we had from a couple weeks ago. I don't know why. We'll stay with this for a minute. Sorry, I'm not content with what we're talking about.
No, you're not. Here's what's happening right now. Okay. You don't know where this is going.
I never do.
And it's making you nervous.
Is it?
Seems like it. You've got some of your nervous traits are coming out.
Okay, that's good. That's great feedback. Here, I'll close my computer. Then I can't.
No, that's okay.
No, I'm going to close it. That way, okay.
I can tell when you're unsure about where we're going.
Yeah, that's probably true. I like discontented. Knowing where we're going. Yeah. So I'm discontent when I don't know where we're going. I'm discontent when we have pauses between us, I realize.
You don't like the pause.
Uh-uh. Hmm. Like right now, I'm like, okay, what can I say?
You're going to fill the void?
Yeah. Let's cut to commercial. We'll be right back.
Like the... It's the commercial with the Dr. Rick, the latest Dr. Rick commercial over there at the gas station. The guy just can't, he's got to feel the silence. Got to feel the silence.
I can't feel it.
Yeah. What's wrong with it? What's so bad about the silence? This is all about contentment, though. So, I mean, what's the.
Yeah. I think silence when I'm by myself, silence when I'm in a but here's what I'm gonna say: silence from just a regular conversation. I don't think it bothers me too much.
I've never seen it bother you in our other settings.
I think it's this thing right here,
really,
you know, having this microphone in front of me. I feel like if somebody's out there listening and there's a long pause, they're going, "Wait, did my phone die? I'm thinking about others. Duh, and I'm out there going, "Oh my gosh, we got to keep." Moving so
well. First of all, is anybody listening? Well, I wouldn't make that presumption.
that's a good point.
Okay,
so. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, they'll be okay. Their phone will come back on.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. Yeah. Okay, I'm content now. I'm back to content. I'm probably not.
It is. I don't understand discontentment that way, but I do sometimes. My brain gets so cluttered with things that it's hard to be content. I feel like I can chase squirrels so easily, and you know, it's hard for me to settle on one thing sometimes and continue on, grind away to accept you know. So I do get that. Again, that's just more a reflection of discontentedness.
Well, I know I've heard people say often contentment is elusive. You know, you have it and it's gone. You have it and it's gone. And I resonate. I understand that. But I think before this conversation with Jake and even with Joe, I think what I would have told you if the question came out of nowhere is I probably would have said, I feel like the last, I don't know, couple years of my life, I'm just content with how my life goes generally. I don't find myself feeling like I've got to do more. I've got to be more. I've got to accomplish more.
That's probably good for you.
I think it's so different for me. Like, I love what I do. You know, I've said this to you before, I never dread coming to my office for work. I've been doing this now for 15 years. And I with integrity, I've never had a Monday. I've never had a day that I don't like coming in here or I'm dreading coming in here. And I've had a lot of those in former jobs. So there's a part of it, you know, I just wake up and I go, okay, this is the day I go to the office. Let's go to the office. And there'll be times I don't know who's on my calendar until I try to get to the office about 30 minutes before the day starts. And I just sit down, I look over my notes, I see who's coming in, and I just find myself I feel like a proverbial smile on my face going, I get the privilege of being with these people and, you know, hopefully offering something helpful. And then when the day's done, you know, I don't feel like I've done the greatest thing for somebody. I also don't feel like I've sucked. I just feel like, man, I was faithful doing what I'm supposed to do. And some people come back and some people don't come back. And that's okay. I truly feel like I got nothing to prove with that. That's okay. And that's where I feel like for the last couple of years, there's just been this, man, I really enjoy what I'm doing. Not just vocationally, but I experience that when I'm with the grandkids. I experience that with Laura and me, overall, there's just this, man, this has been a good day. I lay down in bed most nights and go, huh, this has been a good day. That's not always been my story by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like, and I don't even know how to analyze that. Is that what getting healthier and mature looks like? Maybe. I've seen so much that not much shocks me anymore? Maybe. I think what's been playing in my brain, or is there something complacent? Am I not driving hard enough? Do I need to be driving hard enough? And do I need to be dreaming about more things? So just trying to hold all of that and be mindful of it right now.
Yeah. If you love coming to work every day, why don't you do that more often?
I feel like I'm doing it at a rhythm or quantity that feels
as much
right.
As you want to.
Yeah. And I think I've told you this too, you know, during certain times of the year, wintertime, I'll be in here 5 days a week because I don't enjoy the cold weather, even though it's not super cold here. I just don't enjoy the short days, probably is what it is. So I'll just say, well, I'm just going to go work. But this time of the year, you know, I'll cut back to 3 days a week, and just I enjoy more outside stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like my amount of work, I think that's what's cool too, is my amount of work, it doesn't come out of desperation right now.
Right.
Oh my gosh, I've got to go work more for us to be okay.
Right.
And as you know, I've got a scarcity brain. I can freak myself, oh gosh, we don't have enough. But most days I'm able to go, no, we're okay. So I think that's probably why I don't do more. I'm like, I'm content. I like how much I'm working right now.
Hmm.
I know I could do more, but again, I don't feel like I need to. And that, for me, it doesn't feel complacent. It feels like, well, this is good.
Well, maybe that's your answer then.
Yeah.
On that. For now.
Simple.
Yeah. What's the, well, maybe you said this earlier. I was going to say, what's the downside? I feel like we all go in and out of complacency and contentment anyway.
So that's probably true.
What's the downside to that?
Of?
Complacency.
The downside. I don't know. Top of my head, I was just thinking about, for me, I think when I look back on my life, the places where I have been complacent, the places where I knew, man, I need to blank, and I didn't do it. It's a lost opportunity. It's sometimes it does damage to me or to others because I chose not to act on something that I think could have been better for me, for others. By others, I'm thinking closest to me, family. I don't know. I think maybe it's the lost opportunity phrase that jumps out to me the most. I do look back on my story and I don't feel like I live with resentment about it anymore. But I do think there were some moments I had when I was thinking this would be really good. I could do this. And then something led me to complacency. You know, I talked about acceptance seems to come before contentment. I wonder if fear comes before complacency, at least in my story a lot. Because, you know, I look back on my story and I can go, you know, I had this vision of moving into the coaching world shortly after I turned 40. And I had a friend who was doing it, who was strongly encouraging me to do it, who would mentor me as I did it. I thought it'd be a blast. I had a passion toward it. But the next thing that went to me is, well, what if nobody comes? What if I'm really not good? And, you know, the fear kicked in and I became complacent. And so it was a decade later before I finally said, I'm going to try this coaching thing. And, you know, now got my feet in those boots and I've loved it. So I think it's missed opportunity probably is the biggest thing that comes to me.
Yeah.
You know? That's what complacency has led to.
And, you know, the other side of that coin is if everything belongs, then that timing
sure
worked out.
Sure.
So
this is where you're the mystic at times. And I love
that. I
don't know. No, but you are. You can just lean back and go, yeah, and it's okay.
Yeah. I mean, I have a tougher time doing that with myself.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, you've been so generous with that to me.
Well, good. You know, I always think that's a great discussion. For me, it brings peace. You know, like, when I wish I'd had a mulligan on this, and this. And life just doesn't work two-dimensionally that way, I don't think.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You could. Mm-hmm. You could get that mulligan.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe the rest of the circumstances wouldn't work out the same.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, I guess to your point earlier, that's a good point. That's acceptance.
Yeah. It's interesting. When you say that, it's like my missed opportunity at 40 is probably in direct correlation to what gave me the courage to not miss an opportunity at 50.
Right.
Right. Because I could have gotten to 50 had I not had the missed opportunity at 40 and thought, oh, and then had the missed opportunity at 50. Is that confusing?
You know? No, I think that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. I appreciate you saying it.
Failure is the best teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you look at a missed opportunity as a failure, maybe it's not a failure, but we, you know, in your mind it was.
Yeah.
And so, you go, man, I'm not going to do that again.
Mm-hmm.
Just it's kind of the way we I don't know, there's something, we have an aversion to success.
Yeah. See, okay. Stay with that phrase with me for a minute. Aversion to success. Of course, we could spend a whole episode defining success too, but be what it is for just a second. This was something that came to mind driving over this morning, thinking about my breakfast conversation. Okay. When I have moments when I think of, like in my office, for you, I'll use a real live example. In my office, I'll often hear men 45 to 55. They're in a season of life where they're just going, man, what's next for me? Discontentment, probably. You know, I kind of like what I do, but I kind of feel like I was made for something that may be different, or maybe I just want to do something different. You know, just that midlife transitioning stuff. And then they'll talk about, well, I've thought about doing this before, but here's the obstacle. Or maybe I keep doing this, but then here's what that keeps me from doing. So they're just trying to process this. There will be weeks I'll have that conversation 4 or 5 times with different guys, right? It's very common, I feel like, right now. So from time to time, I'll go, man, you know what I need to do? I need to get 8 or 10 of these guys, and I need to get them in a group, and we need to spend 8, 10 weeks together, 12 weeks together, a year together, and just go on a journey looking at, you know, how do you transition to the next half of life? Or, and maybe I'll take them away for 4 days and we'll go to Montana and go fly fishing, but we'll have these talks in the evening. And I'll think of these things that I go, one, I would really enjoy facilitating those conversations. Two, I think there'd be a value add for some men to sit around campfires or in my office or wherever and to think about the next half of life. Three, I think I could build it in such a way that it would be a revenue center, you know, for me to make some money on. So there's nothing in there that feels bad. It's like, man, all three of those feel like I would enjoy it, it'd make money, and it would help some people. And so I'll feel myself kind of like, oh, man, I need to look for a cabin to go to. I need to look for a fly fisherman that can guide me, you know, guide us. And then it's like the next thing that'll come to me minutes or maybe even a couple of days later is like, man, that's a lot of work. I don't know. Who would I reach out to find a fly fisherman? I'll find myself just walking it back, right? So here's my question. You're laughing at me. Here's my question.
So the priority is the fly fisherman guy? That's first on the list?
No.
You're just whiteboarding.
I'm just spitting right now. Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay. I'll go, golly, man. Does this sound like fear? It probably does. But, you know, like, oh my gosh, that's a lot of energy. I don't know where I'd really go. I don't know where I would, you know, would there be really guys that would want to come to this group? What if I didn't get enough guys to come? It's like, I have this internal conversation because too much work. I'm not going to do it. You know, that's a great idea, though. Somebody else should do that sometime. Hmm. Like, is that me becoming complacent? Is that me just going through a process and then getting to a place of going, I'm content? Because it'll percolate back up every few months going, man, I need to do a group like that with some guys. I need to, whether it's taking away on an event or just a group in my office. When you hear that, what questions would you encourage me to process?
Well, the first thing is kind of what we talked about last week. I always hear you say, not always, but often, yep, I hear you say, I need to.
Yeah.
Like, I need to do, and sometimes that can just be, I think for you, a synonym for I want to.
Yeah, I think so.
But there's a big difference.
Mm-hmm, I agree.
And so.
Did you notice then, was I doing needs?
Every one
or
of
wants?
Them was need. There really? Was one want in there.
Really? That's fascinating.
Everything was need. Huh. I need to do. Huh. And I think if you really wanted to do it, you would have done it.
Yeah. See, I think the need to do for me, when I'm really talking about need, not using it as a synonym to use your word, I think the need is a compulsive thing in me, not a passion thing in me.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I would agree with that.
Yeah. When I get to desire or yearning or longing or just want, I don't think that's compulsive.
I wonder if what you really want is just to go on a fly fishing trip with some guys you like.
Hmm. I hit something when you say that. That I don't need to be the expert taking some guys fly fishing. Maybe I just need to.
Here's what I remember, man, about. Dude. Here's what I remember about our Panera conversations. Mm. 22 with Joe this morning there.
Yeah.
I've told you this before. You can edit it out if you don't want to play it on this. Mm-hmm. Okay. But I think for you, as a, to use your word, as a compulsive need take care of her.
Yeah.
I mean, need take her care of you, yeah, taking care of needs. Yeah. Because that gives you something. And as a counselor and a coach and a pastor, I think there was something in that group that you, when you didn't have to be the leader, when you didn't have to be the, you didn't have to take care of us.
Mm-hmm.
Because I could see when your face, when things would occur in the group and you had to switch to counselor, your face would just become downcast almost.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Like, mm-hmm. I that's what I always do, you know. Mm. Not because you don't like counseling, because you're great at that, as I've told you, but you, I think that was almost your therapy,
mm-hmm,
place,
mm-hmm,
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so
you've talked about that trip for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem like that's something you really want to do.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
You're already doing it with the guys in your office.
Mm-hmm.
You could continue to do it there. They don't need a fly fishing trip. That'd probably be fun.
Sure. Sure.
But.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting. I think when you said what you said 2 minutes ago about maybe you just need to be doing a fly fishing trip with some guys that you want to be with. I thought if Laura were in here, I think she'd just probably either smile or nod her head. I think for, gosh, almost 4 decades of our marriage, frequently I've heard her say something like, "Jeff, just why don't you go do something you want to do for you?" And I don't recoil from it. I just feel paralyzed by it. I feel stuck. Well, what do I want to do? And I immediately go, well, what do so-and-so need? You know, I think that's a powerful observation that hits me deep today.
Well, there's something, and if Jen were sitting here, she would say the same. There's something so in that Enneagram 6 and in your personality too, I think other people's met needs fuel something in you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And like everything, that can be healthy or
good or bad, right? Yeah.
I have the same conversation with her. Hey, what do you want to do?
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to eat for dinner? What do you want? Well, what do you want? Because if I'm enjoying it, she's going to enjoy it to a certain degree. But then there's going to be buildup too. Like, man, I never get what I want. So I think a healthy version of that is, you know, you're not the fourth member of the Trinity.
Yeah. Right.
You know?
Right.
Everything doesn't depend on you. Yeah. Doesn't depend on me.
Yeah.
And so sometimes it's like, hey, what do I want to do?
Yeah.
It's not going to, there's a high you kind of get from that. I think certain personalities get from taking care of somebody, codependent or whatever you want to call it. But there's a high that comes with that I think you have to kind of leave on the table sometimes and go, it doesn't depend on me. So.
Yeah.
I'd really like to go fly fishing.
Yeah, yeah. I think what's cool about what you're talking about is that it's so, for years of my life, especially in pastor days, I think it was so blatant. I probably didn't see it, but people around me probably could see it, that my neediness to be needed, my need to take care of others that filled my cup, you know? I don't know if others could see it, because I think I'm pretty unaware of it. I don't know. Maybe it doesn't matter. But I don't think, I know for this, I don't think I saw it. I thought, well, this is just what I'm supposed to do. I need to do this. Going back to your word for me. And I think the subtle nature of it now is I never think about that. Well, I never cognitively think about I need to go do this for some people. I think it's so much more subtle of going, it's almost like I'm embarrassed or ashamed at some level almost to say, man, I really want to go blank. Just do it for me. So I think almost at a subterranean, subconscious level, I will instead go, man, if I built this trip and could do this with these guys, I would be, it's like I'd kill 7 birds with 1 stone. It's just going, what's the bird I want to kill? Why don't I do it?
I wonder if you've attached a certain nobility to that trait.
Probably.
You know,
yeah.
Oh, look at me. I'm probably not going to say this correctly, but look at me. I'm always taking care of others.
Yeah. You know? I don't consciously think that, but I think there's something probably really
something noble about that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And denying yourself a little bit.
Yeah.
And you know, I think we are, there's part of the Christian faith that is you know, there is some denial to ourselves and all of our needs, but there's also, man, I'd like to go do this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and I think, but I think certain personalities have no trouble saying, this is what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
If you ask me where I want to go to dinner in a group, I'm always going to tell you.
Yeah.
And my wife will have to say, hey, why don't you ask them where they want to go? Why the hell would I want to do that? You know?
This is about me.
They ask me where I want to go. I'm going to tell them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. That's worth me thinking more and more on. The deeper part of it, it's kind of come back to want and desire. Which kind of makes sense because contentment comes when I'm living out practically my wants and my desires.
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, again, I think we touched on this in the last episode a little bit. I don't remember. I've got to do something on memory at some point as a side note, because my memory is so one of the reasons I always say it's fine when you ask me how my week was.
Yeah.
It's like I get this explosion of things, and there's 80 things that have happened. I can't even put them in context. And it's like, I'm overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Like,
so I have to be fine. It has to be good.
I'm so relaxed about most things, but that, for some reason, that it just spurs chaos in my brain. So yeah. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm fine. That's aside. That'll be a different topic for a different day. But I think we touched on this, that when you do what you're wired to do and what you really want to do, what God's made you to do, I think you find success and fulfillment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so part of it is, you know, throwing off the old.
Yep.
I mean, I need to do this. And, you know, if you can say I come to work every day and I don't dread it, you're probably doing what he's made you to do.
Yeah. I do feel that way.
Then,
you know,
and that's for sure one.
I remember the old Chariots of Fire movie and that iconic line that Eric Little says to his sister when, you know, she's wanting him to go to China to be a missionary, and he wants to run, and because he becomes an Olympian. True story, in the 20s, I think, 1920s. 1920, wow, 100 years ago. Anyway, he finally has this conversation with her. He says, I'm going to go to China. And she's all excited. He goes, but not now. And then she's so bummed, right? And he goes, because God made me fast, and when I run, I feel his pleasure. Mm. And I've often done this little exercise with guys where I'll say, think about yourself, and how would you answer this sentence? God made me blank, and when I blank, I feel his pleasure. You know, because it's like the difference
That's
of
great
doing
question.
And being, you know. Mm-hmm. The first question answers being. God made you how? What's your being? Who are you?
Yeah.
How did God make you, you know? And the second question is doing, because I think culturally it's just opposite. We focus so much on I need to do. You know, our kids in college, what are you going to do when you grow up?
Oh, my God. What we do defines who we are.
Exactly, which I think is problematic as hell.
And you can see it is, and you can see the look on, I intentionally try not to ask kids in their 20s in college what they're going to do.
Yeah.
I can see their face recoil.
Mm.
It's like, it's overwhelming. It's kind of like that, hey, how was your week? It's overwhelming a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah,
I mean?
That's
it's
the
like,
question, yeah.
Like, no idea what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah.
You know, one of the things we tell our kids is, hey, just go to college, get your degree. Mm-hmm. Then figure out. Then just get a job doing something. I don't care what it is.
Yeah.
Just learn how to pay your rent, buy your pizza.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Break it down. Yeah. But I think you're right. Our society defines, we are defined as, who we are is defined by what we do.
Mm-hmm. Who we are is defined by what we do. Well, and
sometimes. So just flip that script, I think you'll get guys' attention.
Yeah. But you know, back up, who we are defines, wait, say it again.
What we do
defines who we are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Boy, that's a formula to discontentment over time, is my guess.
Well,
right,
it's got to be.
Yeah,
I still get asked. Everybody that's over 6'2" tall gets asked, "Hey, did you play basketball?"
Wow,
I still get asked that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, 40 years ago. I mean, 30 years. You know, yeah. I mean, but that's not even.
Yeah.
But in their mind, in my mind sometimes, that's still a part of who I am.
Yeah.
I can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
And so that's a bummer.
Yeah.
You know, and so, yeah, it leads to some discontentment. But I think we are all kinds of things. You drive a certain car. Oh, are you this? Or you do this? Are you successful? Oh, you took this trip. Oh, you must be, you know, killing it. Or your kids are doing great. Or, you know,
yeah,
all the comparison stuff that kind of destroys the contentment.
Yeah. Well, I'm loving what we're talking about, because I think even pulling it back to early morning with Joe, to what you and I are talking about now, it's given me a little freedom just to go, gosh, I don't think I need to ask the question of, am I complacent right now, or am I content right now? Maybe it's almost like this false binary conversation. You know what I mean?
Right.
Maybe the deeper question is, hey, what's going on in my inner world that I really want, and am I moving toward it?
Yeah,
whether it's doing something different vocationally,
what do you want to do?
Yeah, or whether it's going fly fishing. Yeah. Yeah.
And why is there this Gosh. Why is there this need to... I agree with you on your definition earlier of complacency and contentment. Contentment feels good. Complacency feels like a generic lazy term.
Yeah.
But why is there this... I mean, if Paul's right, we all have a tendency toward complacency.
Mm-hmm.
We got to learn contentment.
Sure.
So why is that such a bad thing?
Yeah. It's just part of the human condition.
It is. That's who we are.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good.
But what do you want to do?
Yeah. There's the question. Which I'm not going to answer today because I don't know, but I'm going to think about it. Yeah.
It's because that'd be a good guys group for guys in their mid-40s and mid-50s mm-hmm. because there's one of the advantages you have when you're young that you don't know is you don't have any, you're not tethered to anything.
Mm-mm. Right.
You get to mid-40s, mid-50s or our age, mm-hmm. and you got a wife, you've got kids, you've got grandkids, mm-hmm. you've got people that depend on you. And so, those decisions are harder
mm-hmm.
to change course
mm-hmm.
vocationally, mm-hmm. internally.
Mm-hmm. Hey, here comes the golden handcuffs, right? You know, I get in that job and now I've got the responsibility, but it's providing. So I've just got to keep grinding and keep doing
right.
it. And passion begins to shrivel. Desire begins to shrivel because compulsive. I've got to keep doing what I'm doing.
I'm in the grind.
Yeah. I think that's what I love about this season is that I don't feel a great sense of responsibility. Mm. You know, I'm watching all my adult kids are grown. They're responsible. They're taking good care of themselves. I just feel a great sense of joy. I get to spend time with them, time with the grandkids. But I don't feel like anybody's looking at me going, oh, Dad, can you make sure you're making money to help us pay our mortgage?
Right.
Yeah, that's so not my story at all. And Laura and I are in a good place there. And maybe that's what scares me is that it's so good. I'm afraid to go, okay, it's good. What do I want to do? You know, it's funny though, when you were saying that a minute ago, what do you really want? That'd be a good men's group. What do you really want? Laura has tons of times said that one of the greatest gifts I've given her through the years is asking her, when she's trying to figure out, should I do this? Should I do that? That's that need question too. What do you want to do? That's like my default question I'll ask her. And I think it's what I ask people in here all the time.
Sure.
But kind of like you said earlier, I don't know that I do a great job asking myself that question.
Yeah.
I'm gonna figure out how to ask that question for myself right now. Yeah. That's good.
I think it'd be good.
Yeah.
Might be surprised.
Yeah. I might be.
Yeah. But I think you're doing a lot of what you want to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's where that word contentment comes in. I feel pretty content right now.
Yeah,
but I think I'm trying to turn it into so binary. But am I being complacent? Which is almost a do I need to be doing something different question, really? Instead of just going, I am really content. And is there something else bubbling in me that I go that would be I would enjoy? I'm going to use my word. That'd be fun to do.
Yeah,
I would enjoy doing that.
Yeah,
and so I need to start taking some steps toward it.
Yeah, and I think if you really want to do it and it sounds fun, you're probably going to take the steps to do it.
Yeah, yeah. I know. I just said I need to take some steps. Yeah.
But I mean, no, I didn't. Yeah, yeah. Right. But I mean, you.
Yeah.
I don't mean you. I mean the indefinite you. Anybody will take.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, my family will give me a hard time sometimes, and you know, or jokingly, but not. Man, I can be hyper focused on things I enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
And, now, you know.
Yeah.
Not notice things that have been in our house for 20 years.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, just personality. But I think we all do that. Yeah. I mean, I think we all are more focused on the things we enjoy. But again, it's expected. Living in the lane that God made you to live in.
Yeah.
I think as much as you can on this earth is enjoyable.
Yeah. You know, when you said that, remember... somewhere in life, I know you and I both heard this little reading or poem or I don't know what whatever it was. I don't know how to say that word, by the way. P-O-E-M.
Yeah, you didn't do a great job there.
My kids always make fun of me. No, it's East Tennessee poem. That, P-O-E-M. It's those little pieces of poetry. I don't know how to say that word.
That's okay, though. I don't mind.
But it was about the crescendo end of it was, I want to go out with my boots on. You know, and it was this manhood world that you and I were in, and you got to, you know, that good men, you know, they die with a gun in the hand, still shooting at the enemy and accomplishing things. And I'm not making fun of military people. Thank God for people who gave their lives for freedom.
Right.
That's Memorial Day. But it, the whole thing was like, you just grind your whole life. That was the whole deal, you know, until you die. And I think some of that's still in me, like that says, well, Jeffrey, you're not grinding enough right now. Instead of being able to go, what does that even mean?
Right.
I'm being faithful. I'm working. I'm taking care of things. I'm being responsible. There's freedom when I can get out of that. I need to grind mentality. And just like, there's nothing wrong with grinding. You know, I think of 30-year-olds, you know, I think of my nephew who listens in regularly, and he was so funny, by the way. He sent a text this morning and said, oh my gosh, you guys are back. I'll listen this afternoon. And I said, yep, Steve's calling it season two. Get ready. Yeah. But you know, I love the season of life he's in. Three little kids. He's grinding. He's working hard to build his family, build his nest. Good for him. Rightly so. I think, quote unquote, my grinding in this season just looks really different. I don't want to go out with my boots on in the sense of I've got to act like I was 30. I want to go out with my boots on. I still want to be moving. I still want to be engaged, but I don't have to be on the front line doing what I was doing back in those years. And there's freedom in that.
Or maybe you die with your boots on doing something you really want to do, and that energizes you.
Yeah.
In a different way.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I like how you say that.
I think the old tapes for you are pretty profound of this cycle. You know, you always used to draw these cycles, mm-hmm. illustrations for us. Mm-hmm. You're a leader in your family. When your mom died, your dad was complacent, and so mm-hmm. you take the mantle, and you have a family. Now you're a pastor. So everybody's always looking to you, and you love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was a lot of years. And so now getting rid of that. Yeah. Is, I don't think that, I mean, you've come a long way on that, mm-hmm. but it doesn't happen overnight. And the old tapes still play, mm-hmm. you know, I got to be needed. I got to go. I got to grind. But
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
you may grind again.
Mm-hmm.
Probably going to be in something you really, really want to do. Though.
Yeah. 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 That would be my hope. It'd be hope for anybody, right? Yep.
Especially I think so.
This season.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to go be complacently content today. Are contentedly complacent. I don't know.
I'm going to go ask somebody else what they want to do. Maybe.
Keep the focus off you?
Maybe.
You did a good job today keeping the focus off you and your contentment.
Well, I said I'm discontent. So there's no...
So there's no conversation.
Yeah, right, yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know how to be content.
And I'm content with not being content.
I'm content with that, yeah. Okay. Content in my discontented chaos.
Cool. All right. All right. Well, we're well on our way in, as you call it, our season two. So
why do you say I call it? It is season
you do.
Two.
A week off? Is that really a new season?
Why is it not?
Okay, it is. Happy birthday. All right. Well, tune in next week when we hear Steve say, welcome to season two, episode three. Have a good week. We're out.